Good morning. It's October 3rd. The time is 8 a.m., and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. Governor Hickenlooper's administration said yesterday that lawmakers don't need a special legislative session to deal with the aftermath of the Front Range floods. As the Denver Post reports, a spokesman for Hickenlooper said that decision was reached after discussions between cabinet members, state agencies, and leadership from both parties at the state capitol. Meanwhile, the shutdown of the U.S. government means Colorado will have to cover the cost of 120 National Guard engineers currently working to reopen roads and bridges caused by the flooding. State tourism officials are in Telluride this week to discuss ways of promoting Colorado. As Benta Berkland reports, Colorado is coming off a record-breaking year for visitors.
According to the state's tourism office, last year's figures show a 6% uptick in visitors. Al White is the director of the tourism office. He says the state also saw those tourists spend a record $17 billion.
There's just so much to see and do in Colorado.
Something the state capitalized on last year was the launch of a new national advertising campaign called Come to Life. White says international travelers are another group the state's targeting, along with promoting agritourism.
It's a very diverse industry, everything from a corn maze to, a five-star dude ranch.
The annual tourism conference brings together people from all aspects of the tourism industry. It rotates throughout the state. This is the first year it's been held in Telluride. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Officials with Connect for Health Colorado, the state's new online health exchange, said the website saw 79,000 unique visitors for its first day on Monday. Alicia Plants with the Montrose Connect for Health office says she's received plenty of calls and some walk-ins over the past 2 days. She says most of the people she's talked to so far want to know whether they're eligible for financial assistance under the new system. Some federal money is available to help individuals and families pay for health coverage, mainly for veterans and those who don't have coverage or whose employers don't offer affordable plans. Plants says some people are still just wondering how the program works.
Had a few come in that didn't really know anything, so we just, briefed them on what Connect for Health Colorado was.
Maria Forster, the Connect for Health guide in the North Fork Valley based in Hotchkiss, says some of the people she's talked to since Monday are interested in federal subsidies, while others are just looking for more affordable health care options.
Some of the people, I would say a good portion of them, have had coverage, but it's very expensive coverage. And some of them had received notices from their carrier that their rate would be going up, and some people said that they received notices that they were canceled. And then a fair amount of the other people have just not been able to have health insurance because of the price.
News outlets on Tuesday reported some glitches and freezes with the exchange on its first day, but Plant says, in her experience, the people she talked to didn't see many problems.
A lot of people that I've talked to in the last couple of days could get around the site. They didn't really have any questions about the application yet. They just had general questions about the exchange.
And Maria Forster says that despite the early handful of interested healthcare shoppers, there's still some work to be done, simply letting people know the exchange is up and running.
My sense is that people have heard about it. They do not understand how it works. It is a very complicated matter for many people. They do need a lot more information on how it is going to be structured. I think it's going to need to build through word of mouth and more public meetings.
Meanwhile, Connect for Health spokesman Ben Davis told the Denver Post visitors to the site have generally been happy with its performance, but the exchange is continuing to clear up some error messages. The BLM reports that 677 of its roughly 708 Colorado employees are being furloughed in the wake of the federal government shutdown. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, nearly all of the Bureau's services are being suspended, with the exception of some law enforcement, emergency response, and firefighting personnel. The BLM's contingency plan for the shutdown says oil and gas regulators will also still be working, with a limited number of employees on board to patrol oil and gas fields and to protect against oil theft. But other activities like timber sales, wild horse adoptions, and work on resource management plans have been suspended. David Ludlam, the executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association, told the Daily Sentinel that the shutdown could harm the regional economy and federal income, saying the shutdown is, quote, eliminating one of the critical revenue sources that Congress is so desperately for. A lawsuit has been A lawsuit has been filed challenging the petition signatures gathered to put the $950 million school tax proposal, known as Amendment 66, on the state ballot this November. According to the Denver Post, the suit was filed by former Democratic State Senator Bob Hagedorn and former Republican lawmaker Norma Anderson. It claims that nearly half of the signatures gathered for the bill are invalid. The Post explains even if the lawsuit succeeds, the amendment would still be on the ballot this November, but it's possible that the votes for it wouldn't be counted. The suit was brought to light by a group supporting the amendment, called Coloradans for Real Education Reform. According to them, Colorado Secretary of State Scott Gessler is named as one of the defendants. The group said the suit claims affidavits for the petition signatures weren't notarized, the circulators of the petition didn't list their permanent addresses on the affidavits, and also that those circulators didn't present proper IDs in the process. If passed, Amendment 66 would increase all state income taxes through a two-tiered system and use that money to fund a variety of school programs in the state, including expanded resources for at-risk students and English language learners. And finally today, Neighbors, Strangers, and Friends is an audiovisual exhibit currently on display at the Creamery Arts Center in Hotchkiss. The exhibit features a series of interviews and photographs of North Fork Valley seniors created by local writer and photographer Rita Claggett. KVNF's Allie Lightfoot recently spoke with the artist about the project.
I was the coordinator of the senior outreach program, and that involved scheduling Creamery artist volunteers to go to a number of senior centers and nursing homes. This project was born out of that as an effort by the Creamery to connect with the elders in our community and to honor them and celebrate their lives and celebrate the lore and the history of the valley and also people's unique individual experiences. Heart and Soul Project was a generous sponsor and helped me to get these portraits framed.
The interviews are playing on an old radio as you view the black-white portraits of 19 North Fork seniors. Each subject is beautifully illuminated in their photograph, with an excerpt of their interview and a caption below the photo.
I visited each of them in their homes to do the interviews, and then we just sort of together looked around for a few different spots that they might want to be photographed. What I was really after was the inner light, and each photograph capturing sort of that person's unique essence.
Under each photograph, there's a portion of what the person said in their interview. Now, here's a couple, Dorothy and Don. And Dorothy and Don are smooching in the picture. This is from Dorothy. She says, "Well, I was one of them secretaries that did sit on the boss's lap. Here we are 43 years later." Can you tell me a little bit more about Dorothy and Don?
Sure. They happened to be my neighbors whom I had never really met, and they were the most engaging and funny and open people. They had a great story about meeting and a 14-year age difference, and people thought their relationship wouldn't last, and 43 years later. And they are so happy and so much in love still. And you know, here they're really down-to-earth, smart approach to and fun approach to living.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep it fun. There's a quote about that. Michael, who's 77, he says, "The reason we can cope with it is because we have something that no other species has, a sense of humor. So I think that capacity to see the funny side of things is what saves our ass."
I think that Michael is right about that, that we all face obstacles, challenges, losses, suffer depressions and despair from time to time. And I agree that it's humor that can get us out of that. And, you know, humor can defuse a potentially volatile situation, can lift spirits when you've been slugged emotionally.
And then there was this one over here from Betty, who's 80, and she's holding a leaf fossil. I can't believe that, really. So it's on stone.
100,000 years old, yeah, it's on the stone.
Wow, did she find that? Betty says about this fossil that she's holding in her hand, "I sat there and cried because all of a sudden it hit me. that since God created this, I'm the first human being to ever look at it.
Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. She found a treasure, for sure.
Yeah, she found quite a few treasures in her years of living around here, growing up here and living around here, and she really tuned into the earth and all the gifts. Another thing she said is, it's all a gift. It's all a gift.
What was one of the biggest surprises that you got out of this experience? What did you feel like you took away from it as far as just a new perspective on life, I guess?
I got so much out of doing this. Everyone was so cool about death. There was nobody who said, I'm afraid of it. Everyone was like, you know, that's just part of it. And that was kind of a surprise to me and a very comforting thing. The wisdom of our elders lies in the fact that they have been around for a long time, and their accumulated life experience has given them a lot of insights, and they've seen a lot of loss and a lot of positive things. And they all had a certain equanimity that kind of surprised me. I think we could all talk with each other more about deeply personal things if we could overcome our barriers and our fears and our inhibitions about it. And I certainly think that older people are neglected in our culture, and I've seen that happen in my lifetime. Since I was a child, the sort of prevailing attitude I've seen towards seniors has gone downhill. And by all means, I think, you know, everyone has stories to tell and insights and wisdom they can share. And I certainly, part of the exhibit is my artist statement encouraging people. Here's what it says. Please join me in celebrating your friends and neighbors. Please ask your parents and grandparents if you are still able, meaning if they're alive and around and you can talk to them. Ask them about your history, your own story, and please pay attention to your elders, all of them, your family, your neighbors, your friends.
That was Allie Lightfoot speaking with Rita Claggett, whose exhibit Neighbors, Strangers, and Friends is on display through tomorrow at the Creamery Arts Center in Hotchkiss. As always, we'd like to remind you as the season changes to share your photos, videos, and observations at thealmanac.org. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.